Today's scripture is from Genesis chapter 37, verse 3 to 11. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons, because he has been born to him in his old age, and he made an ornate robe for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, "Listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it." His brother said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream, and he told it to his brothers. "Listen," he said, "I had another dream, and this time the sun and the moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me." When he told his father as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, "What is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you?" His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. Genesis 50, verse 19 to 21. But Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children." And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated.
Good morning. Praise the Lord. He is the name above all names. How great is our God. Trust these words that we were shared in song to the Lord. And just seeing how, am I good? Everybody can hear me? Has helped us to reflect on how important we are for God and for His kingdom, and how much He loves us. We sang these words to Him this morning. For those that don't know me, I served on this church, with this church in 2018 and 19 as part of staff and helping also with outreach ministries, also serving with international students. And we saw at that time quite a few international students come to the church, and some of them came to Christ. And by God's grace, we're celebrating my 80th birthday this summer with my family in Calgary, and we're still involved with international students as long as God gives us health. My wife is quite sick this, actually, the last couple of days, and I get greetings from her, but she just is not well. She has stomach problems and was throwing up all day yesterday. But slowly she's mending, I believe, today. Maybe she got something I had a few days earlier. I'm not sure. But we always share everything we have, the bad things and the good things. So it's good to, I recognize a number of you, and it's good to be here. And thank you for your prayers. If you want to keep updated with us, and we're still involved with international students to some extent as volunteers. And we are also involved in missions, especially in South Asia, in India and Thailand and Laos. And so I really thank God that we can still be involved there through prayer and through giving. I do have a newsletter, and you're welcome to ask me for the newsletter or to be on our mailing list. Some of you do. still connect with us. And we really appreciate that so much. So continue to pray for us as we serve him. This past couple of months, God opened the door for me to connect with some Afghan people that I meet in the pool, swimming pool, and I've been invited to their home. They're Muslims. We even went to their home during Ramadan when they're fasting, but they don't fast after sundown. Then they have a huge meal. They make up for it, what they didn't eat all day. And we were able to go to their home, and they just always express great gratitude that we're probably the first Westerners that have come into their home, and we want to share God's love with them. Another family, through a student from Bangladesh who studied at Douglas College, his family came for his graduation. They came from Bangladesh. They're Muslims. They've been to our house twice already, and they also have been to church several times. And so we pray that God will open their hearts. And they're also very touched that my wife can cook food from those countries, and Persia as well. She's an international cook, and she's still able to do that. So we'll pray that she'll recover. I'm challenged this morning through this topic called Walking in Adversity, God's Faithfulness in the Life of Joseph. A couple of years ago, a church invited me for a summer camp, where they actually had this theme called Walking in Adversity. And they asked me to give four messages on that topic. And that was about 3 years ago, 2020, I believe. And then last year, God opened the doors for us to go to Asia. And as I read and heard about what's happening in India and Laos, where one of the Christian leaders in Laos had been murdered, killed, and shot right in front of his wife and two children, God put these messages on my heart for the people of India and for the people of Laos that have gone through a lot of persecution and suffering. And we are connected. We are one family. When one weeps, we all weep. When one rejoices, we all rejoice. We're connected. And I believe here we are going to be facing much more hardships and adversity in the days ahead. In fact, I've been invited to go back to Laos to have a border seminar again. But I don't want to go by myself. I want to take a few people with me. So if you're interested in a trip like that for a week or two, please come and talk to me afterwards. I'd love to go this fall again. We have to raise some money for a border seminar, but the people of Laos will inspire you with their love for Jesus and what they go through. I've just received a report from Sion. He says, one of his reports, he says that a year ago, July 23rd, was when this evangelist was told to stop, who was shot and killed. He was told to stop spreading the gospel and stop preaching. And two motorcycles came some weeks later, and they killed him in front of his wife and two children. And he gives a report about the fact that that he died, but his love for the Kamu and Hmong have not died. There are about 8,000 Christians in this province, and they're not discouraged, but they continue serving God faithfully. Although there are a lot of people, both Kamu and Hmong, but being converted, and new house churches are established. The most important thing is that his wife took her husband's place, and she is stronger than before her husband died. She's stronger than before her husband died. And so she is serving God faithfully, and he's like a mentor to her. He's under FEBC, has been preaching the gospel, that my brother, who heads up the work there, for over 30 years. And so these reports really encourage me, and we are involved in supporting them. And then he shares on my cell phone just recently that there was a small church that was expanding in a small village in Laos. They had seven families, 35 people. They were meeting in a home, but their home was too small. And they really were praying that God would help them to construct a small church a small church building. And I just got that report on May the 5th on my cell phone here about this church. And he says, Berg, what can we do? How can we help this family or these families and this small church to expand? They're looking to God to build this church for $6,000. We can come up with a church and we can come up with half of it. And just that week, a church sent me $2,000 and another donor sent me $500. And so we were involved in getting this church built for $6,000. Can you imagine that? What can you do for in your building for $6,000? Or, you can't even buy a secondhand car for decent car for $6,000. And here they have a church. They're just so, we're so blessed. And God just supplied that same week an extra $3,000 to us so that we could send it to them. And so we are really involved in some of these ministries. Another couple from Japan that met here at UBC, got converted here, from Japan and China. She's from Tianjin, China. He's from Japan. She became the leader of the Focus Club at UBC. We did their wedding in the year 2004. They're coming back this summer for a couple of weeks to visit us. And we're going to be involved in seeing them. I actually did their wedding in Japan in 2004. So there, and another young man, not a young man, he's in his 70s, but he's a Chinese guy from Toronto, Laval Yao, an elder in his church. He has spent the last 12 years in Myanmar. Myanmar has gone through an incredible period of conflict, civil war, lots of suffering there, poverty, and he's involved there for the last 12 years. And he's coming here for 4 days in July. I'm arranging some meetings for him. Please pray, if you're interested in this country called Myanmar, Burma, he would be delighted to meet you. So these are just some opportunities that I'm faced with by God's grace, not only locally, but worldwide. So my passage today is from the book of Genesis, from the life of Joseph. It's just one of the, it's hard for us to cover this topic of adversity in just a few minutes. But we'll just cover one aspect. Maybe if I do come back, and if you want to hear more about adversity, something that we don't like to hear about, right? Something that in our society we try to avoid, adversity. It's normal, right? If you see two roads and there's two signs and one says the easy road and one says the hard road, what road are you going to go? I know at my age, if there's a mountain and one says easy climb and one says hard climb, I know the one that I will do. Right? It's the easy one. Right? We want the easy path. And I was surprised that this Chinese church that did this camp 3 years ago would want to have a topic like that, walking in adversity. Why would they do that? Why don't they say three easy steps to victory or to spiritual growth, right? But no, that's what they wanted. They felt that that was what's needed, and I believe that's what God wants us to hear, because it's throughout God's word. It is God's word, and it's for the church today, especially in the West. So let's just pray that God will open our hearts. Lord, open my own heart this morning. My heart is filled with the stories of people from other countries that right now are going through suffering and difficulties. Pastors being put in prison in India. Poverty, civil war, so much difficulties that many Christians are facing today in India that they never thought they would face, in Laos and other countries. And Lord, we have it so comfortable this morning. But Lord, I pray that we will also be not only hearers of your word, but doers of your word. And so Lord, even now, help us to reflect on these thoughts of adversity from the life of Joseph. We pray this in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. And God's people said, Amen. So what's the definition for adversity? Anybody would like to give me one word definitions this morning? One word definitions of adversity. Silence. You're educated. What's one word for adversity? Huh? Problems? Chaos? Suffering? Opposition. Good. We're getting a few answers. You're still awake so early in the morning. I got a few more. You gave some. Hostility, misfortune, hardship, calamity, distress, trials, sufferings, state of serious difficulty or misfortune. These are some words that would describe adversity. So, but would you naturally, humanly speaking, how would many people naturally face adversity? What's one word to describe that? Any words to describe how you would face, how normally people would face, humanly speaking? Pardon? Escape? Avoid, yes. I think we mentioned those things, some of those words already. Avoid, escape, prevent it, do everything we can to avoid it. In fact, I believe that thousands of people every year quit church. Pastors give up. Missionaries leave the mission field. Why? Because of adversity. Because of adversity. And what did the people of Israel do most of the time in the wilderness when they had adversity? What's the one word that you can describe? Complain. Complain. Right? Taxes are going up. Tariffs are going up. What do? Do we say hallelujah? Thank the Lord for adversity? No, we complain. We complain. And so we are talking this morning a little bit about this topic. But C.S. Lewis, a great scholar and writer, he says that God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks to us in our conscience, and shouts to us in our pain. He shouts to us in our pain. God got my attention when my wife had cancer 3 years ago, and was one of the most precious times in our lives as we went through that period of uncertainty. Yes. And so God uses adversity, and nothing he does is wasted. Another statement from C.S. Lewis, it's his megaphone to rouse a dying world and a deaf church. And Job 14:1 says, man born of a woman is a few days and full of troubles. Full of troubles. And so these are just a few thoughts on introduction to this topic this morning. But we got to get through this topic on Joseph. And so the God's faithfulness in the life of Joseph. I'm sure every one of you can talk about some bad experience you've had in your life, some negative thing that happened. I wish I could hear your stories. I know that I wouldn't have been able to, God wouldn't have opened the door for me to work with international students in the year 2000, when I was already 55 years old, and I had lost my job, and I was going through a difficult period in my life in Kamloops, British Columbia. But it was that difficult year in my life, losing my job and not knowing what my future would be, that God opened the door for international students. And my wife and I often say it's one of the best times in our lives for 25 years now, helping international students. And so and it was through a difficult period of time, 1 year of searching God, seeking him, and being discouraged, and we could have quit ministry altogether. Well, how did this period of adversity come to Joseph's life? Well, it happened through some dreams in Genesis chapter 37. Joseph was a favorite son. He had a couple of dreams we just read about, and he was 17 years old, and he decided to share those dreams. That's nice to share your dreams, except that the results were hatred, jealousy, and in the end, his brothers were determined to destroy him, to kill him. And if you read the rest of that story in Genesis 37, you find out that they sold him instead to the Ishmaelites in Egypt, on their way to Egypt, and so they were certain that his dreams would never come true. And so this, applying this to our lives today, have you experienced a misunderstanding, being judged unfairly, being criticized for something? Even when you did your best, you felt forgotten, you made a mistake, you failed at something, just something bad happened. Or if you had a dream, but there were some huge obstacles, you didn't get any encouragement, your friends or family laughed at you. Year 1968, I had a dream. I was the oldest of six children on a farm in Alberta, and God had opened my heart to missions and to a Bible school and to missions, and I heard that many people in India had never heard the gospel. And so, but I come from a Orthodox Dutch background where my parents had never heard about missions before, and my parents had the dream that I would be taking over the farm, and farming was our God, farming was in our blood. And so, of course, they wanted me to be a farmer. And suddenly I said, I'm going off to India. How are you going there? I'm driving a truck from Europe to India. What? Driving a truck from where? Europe to India, 10,000 kilometers. And using that truck to share the gospel for the next couple years. My parents, they were not very happy. And I had some opposition. But in the end, they let me go. And then when I was 55 years old, in the year 2000, I had another dream that I still could be used by God to touch this world for Him. And God opened the door of international students. And I had a lot of fears, because I had never worked with international students before. I'd never been on university campuses. I'm not smart like they in computer science. I can't even turn on the computer. I don't even know how to operate this thing. But it's working, it looks like. So you know, God used these dreams in my life, and it changed my life, and it changed a lot of people's lives. So if you read Genesis chapter 37, 39, and 40, you'll discover Joseph's life was marked with adversity. He was opposed, he was sold, he was misunderstood, he was slandered, he was falsely accused, and he was imprisoned. Why? He had no idea. He had no idea. It was no fault of his own that he was in prison, because he simply did not want to take advantage of his master's wife. You can read the story. I'm sure many of you have read the story. And so, what is the purpose of all this? Why was this happening? Why would God allow evil to come to his children? Why would God even allow such pressure to come into a person's life? I'm sure Joseph went through a lot of struggles. He was a young man, and now at 28, he was in the dungeon. And I'm sure it's not like the prisons of Canada. But there are three points that we are going to make this morning from this life of Joseph. Number one, maturity was being realized. Maturity was being realized. Second one was ministry is going to be exercised. And finally, God's mystery will be revealed. So, the first one is maturity was being realized. You want to be mature? We say we want to be mature. We want to grow. God uses this. adversity in your life. The psalmist said, it's good for me to be afflicted so I might learn your decrees. God, Satan says to Job, Satan says to God about Job, oh, he's serving you because you blessed him with so many blessings. You've given him everything. So of course he's going to serve you. Of course he likes, so he follows you. But you take away these things, he's going to curse you. Job says, God says to Job, Satan, you can try it. You can try it. And so we have the whole book of Job based on that. On Satan's challenge to God. And there are many verses in the New Testament, from James, from 1 Peter, where suffering proves the genuineness of our faith. It proves the genuineness of our faith. Many times, before missionaries were kicked out of China during the Cultural Revolution, many people said Christians are Christians in China because they call them rice Christians. They're Christians because missionaries gave them jobs and they got food. And so through that, Alexander Soloniskin, in this photo that I have here, he was a famous writer in Russia. He criticized communism. He spent many years in the Russian Gulag and in prison, a prison in one of the worst areas of the country. He said these words, "Bless you, prison. Bless you for being in my life. For there, lying upon the rotten prison straw, I came to realize that the object of life is not prosperity, as we are made to believe, but the maturity of the human soul." The maturity of the human soul. And so what are some things that is what you learn through this first point? What do we learn? Maturity. How is maturity being realized? Joseph at 17, Joseph being the spoiled kid of the family, he certainly wasn't ready for what God wanted him to do, although God gave him those dreams. But number one, adversity is in God's plan. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. If you're alive for Christ and want to do things for Christ, I guarantee you will face opposition. You'll face persecution. You'll face some adversity, because Satan does not want a child to invade his territory. And so there are many, many verses in the New Testament that tells us that we are to participate in the sufferings of Christ. All things work together for good to those who love Christ. And so we can... So what adversity is in God's plan? What do we read as Joseph goes into the Pharaoh's hut? He goes into Potiphar's house to serve him there, and then he goes into the prison. What do we read? It says that God was with him. God was with him. God was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. So what is going on in the life of Joseph? He probably doesn't understand how this is all part of God's plan, but he's saying, I'm going to make the best of it. I'm going to do the best I can in the situation I'm facing. So when I have to go through a doctor's appointment for my prostate, or my wife has to go to her eye appointments, I said, God, I don't like doing this, but there's a Tim Hortons coffee shop and you got somebody there for me to talk to and I can pray for. And so I go, and because I have to drive, and I always ask God that he would open doors for me wherever he puts me. Adversity is in God's plan. What's the next part? Perseverance is part of God's purpose. Perseverance is part of God's purpose. So in order for God's plan to be fulfilled, we must accept adversity, but we also see that perseverance. What's the use of following God? God doesn't care about me. If there's a God, why did this happen? Maybe it's time to quit. And so we focus on our circumstances, and we make comparisons. And the psalmist did that in Psalm 73. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold. I envied the wicked when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. When I tried to understand all this, it troubled me deeply, till I entered the sanctuary of God, and then I understood their final destiny. Psalm 73, 2 and 3. And so how could Joseph keep his heart true to God? He determined to do the right thing, no matter what the cost. Do you sometimes feel like quitting? Are you facing difficulties? Is someone making fun of you? Are you tempted to give in to impatience, to temptations, to get upset? Then consider Christ. Consider Christ. Hebrews 12, 1, 2, 3. Let us run with perseverance the race that's marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. As I went to India last year for 6 weeks, I had to face many adjustments, especially being tested with schedules and time and unpredictable things happening all the time. And so if you're not flexible, I always tell people you should be fat to go to India. Flexible, adaptable, teachable. We should all be fat. So perseverance is part of God's purpose. Consider Christ. Consider him who endured such oppositions from sinners, so you will not grow weary and lose heart. And then the next part is also consider others who have suffered so much. Christ, I have not suffered anything compared to what Christ has suffered for me. Also, so many others in the world are going through so much more than I am. And so I thank God that this can encourage me to press on. And it has encouraged me many times. Adversity, part of God's plan. Perseverance is part of God's purpose. Patience is part of God's path. Patience is part of God's path. There Joseph was in prison. He does the right thing. The cupbearer and the baker gets released. But somehow in Genesis 40:23, it says the cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. And he had to stay there for 2 more years. Patience. What would you do? What would you think? He asked him to remember him. He did something good to this guy. Please remember me. He totally forgot Joseph. 2 years later. Can you think of others who have to wait? Who have to wait? Elijah, Moses, Abraham, Joseph. I had to wait till God opened the door for me to work with international students. God wanted Joseph to be ready to fulfill his future role as prime minister. So God's timing is not our timing. God does everything right at the right time. And so even the coming of Jesus the first time, people were waiting and waiting. But Galatians 4:4 says, when the set time, God's time had fully come, God sent his son. And God says he's coming again. How soon? He says soon. How soon? We've had to wait 2,000 years. We're still waiting. But I think it's 2,000 years sooner, right? So we're getting closer. But, you know, people like me from Holland, I want patience and I want it now. I want patience and I want it now. I want God to work now. And so the young man that was going to the pastor and says, Pastor, I've become a Christian. I've gained almost all the principles of spiritual growth, but there's just one thing I lack. What did the pastor say? He said, what is it? He says, only thing I lack is patience. I'm pretty well perfect except for that. And the pastor said, let's pray. And he prays, Lord, send this young man persecution. Send him tribulation. Send him so many trials and difficulties and problems. He said, I wasn't praying for that, Pastor. No, he says, but the Bible says in Romans 5:3, tribulation worketh patience. Tribulation worketh patience. God bless you. I hope many of you get tribulations and persecutions because it'll help us to grow. Those who hope in the Lord, those who wait in the Lord will renew their strength. So what's the next point on this passage in Joseph is that ministry was being exercised. What was Joseph doing in the meantime? Sulking, complaining, things are not going my way. How long am I going to be here for? What am I doing here? I'm away from my family, I'm away from my parents, my father. But Joseph, in Genesis 40:6-7, He saw these people in the prison. He came to them the next morning. He saw that they were dejected. And he asked Pharaoh's officials who were in custody with him in the master's house, "Why do you look so sad today? Why do you look so sad today?" And so God gave him a helpful ministry. He was looking at people and saying, "Who can I be a blessing to? Here in prison, I could be feeling sorry for myself, or I can be looking out for opportunities." That's the difference between the optimist and the pessimist, right? The optimist sees an opportunity with every problem. The pessimist sees a problem with every opportunity. That's the difference. And so he was being helpful to people wherever he was. So God was with them. God can use you wherever you are. When we lived in Kamloops, there was an elderly Chinese woman who loved God deeply. We got to know her, and little by little, her story. She'd been a medical doctor in China, but during the Cultural Revolution, her husband wanted her and her children to flee China. She was a believer. She thought her husband was too, but he betrayed her. Her children did not follow God. She'd been through more tragedy in her life than most people will ever experience. Her youngest grandson, however, had become a believer in Kamloops and was a great joy to her. And then at the age of 9, he was killed in a freak accident on his dad's farm. The next morning, we saw her in church, and Heather asked her for how she was. And she replied with tears, "God only gives me the best." She saw God's hand in this too, and she trusted her Lord to glorify himself in it. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 1:4, "He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God." When you go through trouble, you can identify with others. You can identify with others. And then not only that, he had a skillful ministry. What was Joseph doing? "Oh, you had a dream. Well, I had dreams too. Maybe I can interpret your dreams, but I can only do it with God's help." He acknowledged God in those interpretations of those dreams. And God used that gift that he had. What gift do you have? I had Cantonese people say to me one day, "We can't serve international students because we do not speak English. We do not speak English, and we don't speak Mandarin, so we can't serve international students." I said, "Can you cook?" "Oh yeah, we love cooking." "Well, that's all you need to do, because when you cook, they will come to our programs. They will come to our meetings. Amen for your alpha groups." We had lots of international students come there. It was wonderful. God uses whatever gift you have. My wife is not outgoing like me, but I show up sometimes unexpectedly with people I meet in the swimming pool. Because I say she just made a cake, and we can have cake and coffee or whatever. So skillful ministry. God can use. A young surgeon was drafted into the army, as was his captain. He knelt by his bed to pray at night. The other soldiers laughed and mocked. They threw their muddy boots at him. They asked him to tell them who threw them. The boy finished his prayers and said nothing. But imagine them surprised the next morning when the soldiers woke up and found their boots at the end of their beds, clean and polished. From that time on, no one dared to mock the soldier. And then what was the last part of Joseph's ministry? Faithful ministry. I think that's what God, he was faithful in what God, to God wherever he was in the difficult circumstances. Faithfulness. God is not looking at how all the things we can do, but he's looking for faithfulness. Are we willing to tell the truth? Joseph was willing to tell the truth to the baker, even though the baker was going to lose his head. He says, "Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head and impale your body on a pole, and the birds will eat away your flesh." He told the truth. He didn't have to tell the chief baker the bad news, but he did tell the truth. We need to preach the word and encourage and rebuke and encourage and tell people that Christ is the only way. There is no hope apart from Christ. People are looking for hope. People are wondering what's going to happen to this world. We have so many opportunities as we see so many people discouraged. Then finally, the last part of this talk on adversity is God reveals the mystery. What is the mystery? You will encounter unfulfilled dreams, unexpected setbacks, unbelievable news of illness or accidents. Life is filled with disappointments. Billy Graham once said, life at its best is filled with sorrow. How do you deal with them when people let you down or hurt you or forget their promises? Against all of this, God is faithful, unchangeable, all-knowing, and does not forget either Joseph or you. It's important in these times of adversity to refocus. And Joseph needed to learn to trust God. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Psalm 20. How many times do we need to learn this? And we don't learn this when everything goes our way. And so Joseph learned to trust God in the midst of all that was happening. Secondly, Joseph learns that God did not forsake him. He did not abandon him. God was just as much there as he was if he had stayed at home. In fact, he was more there with Joseph. He was going to lead Joseph to a great task. God has some great plans for him. All hardships are prepared by God for our good. How did he provide salvation for us? Through the suffering and death of Jesus on the cross. He gave forgiveness to us, and he wants to restore, and he wants to use us. And so finally, in the end, Joseph realized God's purposes. Joseph realized God's purposes. We read the verses in the end where God, the brothers were reunited with Joseph in Egypt because of famine, and they expected Joseph to punish them. And this is what we read in Genesis 50. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and wrongs they've committed in treating you so badly. Now please forgive the sins of the servants of the God of your father. When that message came to him, Joseph wept. And his brothers came and threw themselves before them and said, we are your slaves. And Joseph said, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended for good to accomplish what's being done, the saving of many lives. And Joseph became an example of Jesus. I think this is our conclusion for us today, is that we need to become like Jesus, to forgive others, to bring salvation to others, to become the hands and the feet of Jesus in a hurting world, in a suffering world. And so God did give Joseph his dreams, but in his way, in his time, not how we imagine, not how we want. God's ways are higher than our ways. Joseph bragged to his brothers. I'm sure he never expected to leave Canaan, but God knew he needed some training first. He needed to be sold. He needed to be falsely accused, imprisoned. All shaped him for the great role that God has for him to be the prime minister of Egypt and to rescue his people from starvation. He wants to do great things through us. Through the difficulty in my life, God opened the door for international students. Through the difficulties we face in other parts of the world, God can use us to bring encouragement of hope. And so God gives us dreams and plans, but before that, before they come true, he will take you through some adversity. He will train you for the role he has for you. When the Olympics come, or when these great sports things come, or you want to climb Mount Everest, do you think you're going to get to the top of that without any adversity, without any difficulty? No, people train for that. They know that if we're going to win the gold in the medal, the gold medal in the Olympics, we're going to have to train for that. We're going to have to go through difficulties. And if we're going to advance the kingdom of God, if we're going to see souls come to Christ, if we're going to see the world reached, the church is going to have to wake up. The church is going to have to do what God wants it to do. And I, at my age, 2 years ago, people were surprised that I would show up in India and preach in it one day six times or whatever I had to do and share the gospel of Christ. Why? Because God put it in my heart. People are surprised that I would do something like that. And I'm willing to do it again. I'm willing to do it again. I still want to use my last days and my last weeks and months for the glory of God and for his kingdom. And so this is my little talk on Joseph today. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this moment that you have given us, from the life of Joseph, walking in adversity. We are so prone, Lord, to avoid adversity, so prone to not think about the hard road. But Lord, Joseph, if he had known that he would go through all these things, he probably would not have talked about his dreams if he realized he would have to go through suffering and prison and all the things he faced. But Lord, it was your way. It was your way to save your people, to accomplish your purposes. And so, Lord, we pray that even through the suffering that's going on right now in India and Laos, when we've received reports from Laos this week, this country is going through so many more problems than North America, and we have a little problem when the prices go up on food and other things. And we are facing uncertain times, and people are losing their jobs. But we think of other countries in the world. We think of other brothers and sisters in Christ. Right now, they're facing prison. They're facing loneliness. We pray through brothers like Brother Sion and Brother Laval in Myanmar and others that people will be encouraged that we took the time to care. We took the time to come. We took the time to pray. We took the time to give. And Lord, I pray that each one of us will be spoken to this morning to be your instruments in a suffering world. And Lord, so pray that we will be willing to sacrifice what you want us to sacrifice because of the great sacrifice of Christ. We pray in your name. Amen.